Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And look at this, two shows in a row where it's Patrice and me. So the exclusive episodes this week on the British Tech Network, the Patrice and Jeff shows.
That's true.
And Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm not gonna lie, it's raining, it's cold. There was a thunderstorm coming through earlier, cold relatively. But it's been a good weekend. I'm quite happy. I'm back from being sick and from traveling. I'm traveling next week, actually. So next week I'll not be here. But no, it's just today is one meeting after another. But so all good.
Well,
how are you, Jeff?
Oh, well, I'm doing fine. And
wait, freak, what was that freaked out? No, what's that fine stand for again?
That's a really good question. But whatever it stands for probably does apply. Yeah. You know, living in Longmont now, and for those of you that don't know Colorado geography, well, first, I totally get it because you don't live here. I was living in the middle of downtown Boulder, and I have moved. It's about a 15-minute drive because that's how we measure distances in the United States, from where I was living to where I am now. So I'm very close to where I was. But I don't get the wildlife like I did.
No trash pandas?
Yeah, I don't see very many trash pandas here. But
they must be missing you.
I'm sure they are. But because of the solar activity over the last weekend, I believe, I was able to watch Aurora Borealis here. And compared to where most places lie in Europe, I'm like relatively south, and we don't get auroras here. So it's the first time in my life I've actually seen Aurora Borealis.
Okay, I've
And it
seen
was
it.
super
I mean, in the
cool.
past, it is super. I missed it because it was sick that weekend, and so far until like since then it hasn't happened. So I missed it here, but I've seen it in the past. So super cool. Especially when you get the rare green ones, like red is more common, green you get less so. Unless you're like up north for sure. Like,
okay, well, now I know. I had no idea that green was rare because it was.
Yeah, it's different. It's simply different, as far as I've understood it, different layers of the atmosphere that get like excited basically by the radiation.
Yes, I had to look it up, and it's like oxygen atoms at higher altitudes. That's what gives us the pink and the green. And then it's nitrogen at lower altitudes that gives you that purple color. So I had no idea the green was kind of rare because it was just like
Rare
these
in our areas, like in our like lengths, whatever. Like it's quite common in up north. I mean, that's like when you think about the aurora borealis, all of that, usually you think about green, right? What most people see, that's like up north more common for sure. But yeah, down south it's rare.
Okay. Well, our super rare experience included the super rare green. So
That's cool.
big bands of green and then the pink on top of it.
Yeah, we had mostly red and pink, a little bit purple here. So not
That's
a lot
super
of,
cool.
I don't think we had any green from what I remember. Not seen any at least. So
Well,
yeah. By the way, I looked up what fine stands for. There's different definitions. One is effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. That seems to be the most common one. It's from a song, I think. or something. So freaked out. You could also say freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Well, look at the world around us. That seems like an appropriate response.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
Well, there's no one here to stop us talking about
That's true.
anything we want.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, not that you could stop us anyway, even if you tried, but
That's true. I think the only person here that that's outside of me capable of just completely stopping what's happening would be you, and you would just have to go and shut off the streaming server.
Yeah, I mean, Yuan could also do it. He could just cancel the server, like shut it down from the control panel.
He could,
So,
but let's be honest,
the
that's
question
not
is,
going to
would he
happen.
know how to? That's
That's the
the
better question. Yep. All right. So I suppose we should talk about some Apple-related
Yeah.
news.
Yes, while we're here, let's do that.
Sure. And let's start with the okay, everyone, just so you know, it's a slow news week for Apple because we're past the iPad announcements, and now we're in that window where we might get some other announcements just to clear the decks before WWDC. But basically, everything's now
We're in
just in
limbo
waiting mode.
now. Yeah, we're in limbo. We're waiting for DubDub, basically. That's what's happening. And I mean the code for DubDub is done. Like there's not like any nothing you say or we say now is gonna change what they're gonna release. That happened months ago that they had a freeze on the on features and so on. So they're probably mostly fixing bugs and trying to get it in a presentable state or at least somewhat presentable state.
Yeah, I'm
A
assuming
little
at
bit
this
inside
point.
baseball when you're in software development, you know.
And I'm assuming at this point for WWDC, they're in the process of finalizing what the presentations will be, will be rehearsing things,
Yes. Some
pre-production.
videos are probably already done or close to complete and now in editing because it's a ton of content that they're releasing. So that takes time. I mean, sure, Apple has a lot of resources and can throw money at it and make it a little bit parallel and faster, but at the end of the day, it takes time. So
It takes time.
rehearsals for sure. I'm pretty sure some stuff is already finished, recorded, ready to go. Because it's only, what is it now? 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's coming
3
up
weeks till
fast.
DubDub? Yeah, it's quite fast. So like it should be 3 weeks. Something like that.
That sounds about right.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, 3 and couple days. So.
So, all right, so let's talk about this. Well, do you want to talk about the story that I just dropped in, or should
Yes,
we
let's
address
talk a
Bob Beach's question?
No, let's talk about the story you dropped in, and then we'll talk about the iPad. So.
Sounds great to me. Okay. So the story that I dropped into the chat is of Apple's announcements about accessibility features that are coming. So the one that looks super intriguing for me, just in general, is eye tracking.
Yeah, and I mean, very clearly, probably, or I actually would say very clearly, a feature that is coming down from the Vision Pro. So I mean, you know, the Vision Pro is running a variant of iOS basically, or at least it started that way. It deviated quite significantly in a lot of areas, but I mean, that's why you can still run iPad apps like on it. That's one of the reasons. So for sure, it's still based on all of that. And this very clearly is a feature that comes from that, but it's really cool. Like, I agree with you, it's really exciting. Can you explain what it is? Maybe that we should do.
Okay, sure. I can do that. All right. So the cameras, the front-facing cameras in your iPhone and iPad can track your eye movement. And then it correlates your eye movement to what it is that you're most likely looking at on the screen. And then if you do a thing, I think they call it dwelling. but mm-hmm. you just keep looking at the same thing.
Yes.
And then the camera.
Again, something that we have in VisionOS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. And so then that's the thing you're focused on. So that's the thing that gets activated.
Mm-hmm.
So this yeah. is a way to navigate the interface on your iPhone or iPad without yeah. having to use your hands at all.
Yeah, or voice control, for example.
Or voice control.
Because it's for sure, I mean, since we're talking about accessibility, it's a feature at least geared towards people with disabilities of any sort, like could be anything. But I think, I mean, the one that comes like most obviously to mind is if you're a paraplegic, quadriplegic, anything like that, mm-hmm. or there's a million other disabilities in the same, let's say, direction. Then, yeah, I mean, you remember like back in the, even in the like 2000s and 90s, there were like, and I mean, what's the physicist's name? I'm blanking on it.
You're thinking of Stephen Hawking.
Yes, Stephen Hawking. I mean, the whole thing where like, how does he control like a computer? And that was literally it. Like you could look at the, like the letters, and then when you dwell on them, it would select them, and you needed specialized software, you needed specialized hardware for it, they need a camera that can do that and all of that. And it's, I mean, the interesting thing here is that this, they can do that now with just the stuff that they have in phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how far back they can go quality-wise. I would assume that you need probably one of the Face ID capable devices.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have extra sensors and stuff, and I would assume that you need that, but I don't know, maybe, or the cameras also way better, so maybe that's why. But yeah, this is a good feature, and you never know, you might need it. Like, I don't know, you broke both arms or something, so
mm-hmm.
hopefully not, but if you ever do, then you will want this feature, so it's really good that we're getting that.
Yeah, my assumption is that this will require a device that's capable of running iOS 17.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
and the,
oh,
and
probably,
the reason
18.
say,
probably 18.
Probably yeah. 18. Yes, but that's where I'm going with this, because
mm-hmm.
It from the rumors that have been popping up, it doesn't look like we're going to lose mm-hmm. support for any devices when iOS 18 comes mm-hmm. out. So if it's a device that can run iOS 17 today, it'll be able to run iOS 18, which means it'll be able
maybe
to take advantage of this.
We'll see. Some really old ones might get pushed out. Like, I don't know how far back it goes. iPhone 6 or 7, I think, currently. So it might be that the really old ones, you don't get it. That's why I said, I'm not sure, like, hardware-wise, especially how far back you can go. But I would assume the Face ID phones should be good enough for that.
I would assume so.
If it's good enough to detect your face, then it should be good enough to detect your eyes, I hope.
I would hope.
I don't know. Maybe it's completely unrelated and I have no clue. So it's all possible.
You know, but we can talk with conviction, and that's what matters.
Yes, totally.
All right. So here's what I really want to see with this feature for me. This is totally a
mm-hmm.
selfish thing. I have found that there are different accessibility features that have a lot of value, even if it's not a feature
mm-hmm.
you need because it's an accessibility thing. Like
yeah.
being able to do the tap on the back of your phone to
yes.
to make an action happen. On my Mac, being able to turn on, no, I guess it's on Mac and iOS, where for slider switches, excuse me, you can add a color and get the little symbols to show active or not.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So what I would like is to see this come to the Mac, and there's no reason why it couldn't. Although I could see why Apple would be reticent to do it, because you'd need a Mac that has a built-in camera. Most likely. And but anyhow, what I would love is to have that so that I could turn it on and then select the window that I want active just by looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. Like, I think that that this can go beyond. I mean, I was just thinking about like what if you're in the kitchen, for example, you're cooking, you have greasy hands and all of that. And I mean, sure, you could use voice control and try to do it that way, but I think looking at it is for those people who can do that or capable, able to do that properly, probably more natural than voice in some ways. It maybe depends on the use case, but I could see it like where you're cooking and you want to whatever scroll up in the recipe or do something with it, whatever, go to the next step, stuff like that. And if that was possible with this, could be interesting.
Yeah, the other features that Apple's highlighting right now, the music haptic feedback thing.
Oh yeah. So this is something I'm very interested in, because I think most people, most able people, assumed that if you're deaf, then or somewhere, let's say, other you have hard of hearing of other kind, you don't care about music, you don't want music, whatever, you can't even hear it at all. And there was a show, like a TV show, a couple of years back with deaf actors. Trying to remember what it was called. It was back then big deal, like one of the first ones, like and
Coda.
popular. No, it
No, that
wasn't that.
was
It
the
was way
movie.
before that. That was the movie, and it was way before that. Couple of years. I don't remember even the title of it, but I remember the actors and actresses. And that's something I learned there, that they really do enjoy it. You might be deaf and deaf, like you were born deaf. You've never like heard music in the way other people would hear it, but you still enjoy it because you can still feel the vibrations. And they really enjoy that. And this is a way to make that more, because the speakers and the phone are not super strong, so the vibrations are subtle, I would say at best. Unless you want to blast everybody with your music. But if you can do this and use the haptic motors that the phone has and kind of transform the music into something that you can experience, I think that is a really cool experience. So at least that's what I'm imagining. I mean, people who know will have to tell us, but I would assume that's going to be really cool.
Well, I'm going to try it out
I will definitely try it out.
because
Just I
I
want to
want to
experience
experience
it.
it.
It's just sounds cool. Like your phone is vibrating. Who knows? It might be a hit with like able people and teenagers that just want to have fun with it. And who knows? Like,
Totally possible.
there is new speech features as well. So we get a wide range of speech features. We get vocal shortcuts, so you can assign custom phrases, utterances are called, that Siri can understand to launch shortcuts. I think we had that a couple of years back and we lost it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Not like this.
Not like this. Okay.
Yeah, the difference now is that the phrasing it as custom utterances becomes really important because now it's not based on recognizing the patterns that make up specific words or phrases. It's about recognizing a sound pattern that you create. So
Oh, okay.
like if you have a degenerative issue where you have lost the ability to speak clearly,
Yeah, it can still detect it because it might not know the words you said, but it detects the patterns basically.
right. And then
Okay.
you're telling your iPhone or iPad that when I utter this sequence of sounds, that means this.
Yeah. So that's probably also the next feature, which is atypical speech, which is also a new feature, and it's exactly what you said. Like the it uses on-device machine learning to recognize those patterns, and it's for people who have acquired or have progressive conditions that affect speech, such as it says here, cerebral palsy, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, strokes, very common, So yeah, that's actually, that is really cool. That's really helpful because shortcuts are so powerful. But they're hard to track, especially when you have those conditions, then also your motor skills are probably not the best, and then hitting a button might be a problem. And if you can basically do that with the whatever voice you have, that at least I imagine that, I don't know, could be quite powerful. It's at least another tool in the box, and you have to figure out if that works for you or not.
Yeah.
I don't know how good it is, but I mean, since it's learning and adapting to, like, to you, and it's on device, so it's privacy conscious. I hope it works.
I hope it works too. And then there's the motion related changes.
I forgot. Sorry. Another area where this might be interesting is if you are not a native speaker. And maybe you have a very thick accent of some sort that is not typical American or whatever English accent, for example. I mean, it might even be for some areas like American accents. Like, there's some areas that are quite thick. This could still help with that because it might not know what you said because it doesn't recognize it as English, but it can still recognize the pattern.
There's a scene in Hot Fuzz where they have to go to this farmer's house because he's called the police, and there's an extra cop that comes along, and everyone is speaking English, but the farmer, his accent is so heavy that they need the extra cop there who can translate from English to English.
Yeah.
So they know what he was saying.
There's a similar thing in Clarkson's farm. There's one of the farmers on there, like the dad, I think, of Caleb. I don't remember what his name was. But like, nobody understands it. Like, literally nobody understands it. Not even, apparently not even his son.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and he
it
just
just
speaks
sounds
English.
Like he's
so.
mumbling.
Yeah. It probably is. Yeah. So, and like, I always thought, oh, it was just me. And then I asked a bunch of people and I'm like, nobody, even British, even from the area, nobody understands it. Like, okay, good. So that was the point.
But now his
So
iPod
yeah,
will.
That was that. That's, as I said, so that might actually be another side benefit of this. So even if you don't have like some illness, but it's just how you speak. It's like from where you're from and how you grew up and all of that. I mean, I know in the US, Louisiana accents can be quite heavy, quite thick as well. And
Yes.
I have a feeling that Siri is struggling with that because a lot of
I would
people
assume
are.
so.
So,
Yeah. Yeah. When you get down, into Louisiana, like down where people have a heavy Cajun accent, it's one of those things where it can be really difficult to understand what people are saying, and you could even very easily assume they're not speaking English.
Yeah, exactly. I remember there was one movie that my uncle and I loved to watch from that area, and there were a couple of things that I, to this day, no clue what they're saying. It's just, yeah. So as I said, might be a good side benefit for this. Bob Beach is asking, can Muller use it? We might be able to understand him then. It can't translate yet, so sorry, no. Can only trigger things.
Yeah, we can do only so much with technology.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Are there features in here you want to talk about?
Yes. I think very important. I mean, there's tons, but very important is in the next one, vehicle motion cues. So there is people out there, kids especially. I remember as a kid, I was sick all the time, but also a lot of adults that have motion sickness when riding, like in cars or trains or whatever, like just movement. And so it's usually caused by, very commonly at least, sensory conflict between what the person sees and what they feel. So they feel they're moving, but they see static. They're looking at their phones or book or whatever back in the day. So the vehicle motion cues animates dots on the edge of the screen to represent changes in vehicle motion to help the brain process that better. There's some research apparently in that. And that is not a disability in this case, or could be, but I assume it's probably not. It's just something that some people have, and some have it more and some have it less. And this helps, hopefully. So it's just something everybody could really use. And it can change over time. You might be fine one time in your life, and then later on it changes. So good to have. Yeah, it's really like interesting. They have a video in here where it shows it.
Yeah, watching the little video, when I read the description, I wasn't getting how it really worked, but watching the video, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good one. We get some CarPlay stuff. I don't think we'll talk about that. VisionOS gets some. That might be more interesting, at least for me. System-wide live captions. So that could be like Bobby is also saying, by the way, that when he tries to read on a bus, he feels nauseous, but on a train, he's okay. So yeah, that's how it works. I said I can do stage diving, don't have a problem. But as a kid, I remember every car ride, every longer car ride, I was going up. So, and I wasn't reading; I wasn't allowed to. So. It still didn't help. So
yeah, for me it was if I'm in a car that's moving and I'm facing backwards while I was reading as a kid.
A lot of people have that.
That's yes. when
in
it was car, a problem
in trains
for me.
Especially. Yeah, I didn't, I mean, cars facing backwards, not a thing, at least here. Rare, at least very rare. But yeah, as I said, in trains quite often.
Yeah,
Bob
Beach,
I have friends who have that.
If you want to have the motion sickness thing while you're reading on a train, just come to the US because our train system, where you can find it, is just a. You'd think that the train wasn't actually on tracks because they bounce around so much.
It's just going over to. Of the gravel, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of what it feels like. I mean, they're just it is a completely different feeling compared to the trains in the UK and the EU.
I don't think I've ever taken a train. No, that's not true. I've done Caltrain, but that's maybe a different thing.
Caltrain is different, if you get like if you do Amtrak, which
yeah,
I have done several times, going from Denver to Grand Junction, which it's an all day train ride, just to go across Colorado. But you also have to go through the mountains, over the Continental Divide, but then I've also done out to Los Angeles and San Francisco. And it's a wonderful experience because you get to see part of the United States you would never see.
Yeah.
But if you have motion sickness, you're going to have to get your sea legs, your rail legs.
Yeah. What is it you take? Dramamine? Something. There's some medication.
A lot of people will take Dramamine. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, so as I said, VisionOS, maybe that helps with, that's probably causing motion sickness, to be honest, because you're in a virtual environment while your body is moving. So they get system-wide live captions. So no matter where you are, hi Martin. No matter where you are in VisionOS, you can, like, if you're deaf, hard hearing, non-native speaker, like there's so many, I mean, TV shows these days are sometimes also very bad with dialogue that's mumbled and hard to understand. So there's a million places where that's helpful, and VisionOS will get that across the system. So so there will be the capability to add to move captions using the window bar. So in video, you can even move it around, which is really cool. I really like that. And it will also support made for iPhone hearing devices and cochlear hearing processors.
Oh.
So that is quite cool. Yeah, and then like traditional features like reduced transparency, smart invert, dim flashing, and so on, that things that we've had in iOS that we haven't had in VisionOS version 1. Whatever, I'm guessing will come in 2 because that's the next version.
Yep.
So like voiceover, Zoom, color filters, like all of that. Tons of extra things that we've not had. And including for sure the volume control that we talked about, all of that. Like to some extent we already have that. So but it's getting controls, you can tweak it and all of that. So yeah, ton, and there's like a long list of other things, but I think that covers most important stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Jeff, like the overall feeling about the stuff that was introduced?
I'm very happy to see this. Apple has at least appeared to be, I'm not sure if they really are, but they appear to be a leader in accessibility for
definitely.
Consumer devices. And doing this just seems like a natural progression of what they've been offering. And seeing more of these features come to VisionOS totally makes sense, especially because Apple does want this to be its own new platform.
Yeah,
so you need
it's
to make
the
it
future of
accessible
computing.
To
it's spatial yeah mm-hmm. So it's spatial computing, and I think it's also in a sense it is I think a device that will open up new possibilities for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a different input method, a different way of interacting. I mean, we talked about ALS and if you're paraplegic and all of that. And I think those, like, for those type of people, the Vision Pro might actually be the best device, and probably also the only good device to do anything, because you can, like, it's supposed to be a spatial computer that you, like, strap on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally the way they for decades have been interacting with computers. But they were never strapped to the head because it was just, I mean, try, like, imagine strapping a, whatever, an old 1998 iMac to your head. Kind of silly.
Right. Well, and even the early prototypes of this that Tim Cook got to try when they were testing things in the lab, it was the goggles part with the big cord coming off running to the computers that were running everything.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we've been promised and said. I think this is a new way, because for some people that might be the best way for them to interact.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it makes sense that you offer also all your good features that they have. And I mean, a lot of it they basically got for, I don't want to say for free, but for probably not a lot of effort to adapt. Because they were already built into the underlying system, and they probably just disabled them or hit them or whatever too, because they weren't ready. Simply, there were tweaks needed that they couldn't ship it day one, so they were like, "Okay, we'll do it later."
Yep, which is totally normal to do.
Yep.
I expect I will use the eye tracking thing on my iPhone and iPad, just because it'll be super easy to do. And there are situations where I'm using my phone where I already have trouble using it one-handed. And to me, my iPhone
so
should
true.
Be a one-handed device. But now I'll be able to address that by just simply looking.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. I mean, that's another area where, like, if you're, I don't know, you're a mom or a dad, and you're like, you have your kid on one arm and your phone on the other, and like, now it's not one-handed anymore because it's so big. Like, okay, what do you do? And that's true. It could be another area that I've been
For me,
of.
it's bag of groceries
Yeah,
and answering messages.
Yes. Yeah, true. True. So there's a million ways. I think something that you said, like, Apple is kind of probably the best, or at least at the forefront of a lot of this. And I think it's true. I've not, I mean, Apple, this is a tradition now. I mean, Apple has been doing this for this is a couple of years on May 16th, Global Accessibility Awareness Day. And or somewhere around that, at least. I have not seen anybody else do anything. Maybe I missed it, like very possible that I just didn't see it. But I mean, Google I/O was even on the day, I think. No, it was not yesterday, Tuesday, day before, and they didn't do anything.
No, all they said was AI, 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 AI.
Yeah, 10 million AIs, basically. That's all they said. So as I said, I know that Google is working on this stuff. I know that Microsoft is working on this stuff. Like they have been catching up with Apple. They have done things. It's getting better. So I'm not saying they're not doing anything. Google, I know Android is overall not bad. Actually. I've heard that from people. I know that. But I have a feeling they're not on the level yet with Apple, and they don't seem to prioritize it in that same way.
I think you're right, and I think the way their culture and their development ecosystem works, it is not conducive to proactively supporting features like this in the way that Apple can do.
That is definitely true. Yeah, as I said, it's just something that I've seen and I've heard from people in who are in next summer in the like people with disabilities area, like either working there or have disabilities themselves, that have said that they are happier and can do more with the iPhone or with Apple's devices than they can with others. Could be a self-selecting group because that's mostly who I talk to. But at least that's my experience, what I've heard. Should we talk about the other thing?
We should talk about the other thing. Wait. Wait, Patrice, what do you mean? What is the other thing? How was that?
That was very, very convincing, Jeff. Let's talk about the iPad since it shipped this week.
All right, let's do that. And we need to incorporate Bob Beach's question into our discussion.
Yes. So he was asking our views on iPad OS and is it seriously limiting the iPad Pro as many are arguing, or is it suitable for what iPad are mainly used for? Which is a really good and very difficult question. I don't know, Jeff, maybe. What do you think about that?
I think that there are limitations in iPadOS that are holding the device back from its full potential. However, I think the solutions that many people are proposing ultimately are not going to be the answer that Apple goes for. And I have a feeling that Apple will be correct in not following that path. And what I'm talking about is letting people run Mac OS on an iPad.
Yes, I have to agree with that. That's why I'm saying it's a very difficult question. So we got new iPads this week, iPad Pros and iPad Airs. And they are the most powerful iPads we've ever had. And this is a trend we've seen for many, 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 many years. I mean, since the iPad Pro came out, at least, maybe longer, that we had really powerful, hardware-wise, powerful iPads. And the software, while it did improve, always was way behind of what people expected. And what I personally also think the device was capable of doing. Because let's face it, the iPad Pro of today with the M4 chip could run macOS. I mean, in fact, the original like Apple's silicon, like the dev devices were iPads basically. So they were iPads in a Mac Mini case, I think.
Yep.
So, but it was more or less iPad. It was the chip, literally the same CPU that the iPad had. So it ran macOS just fine. So we know the hardware is capable of it. For sure. And that was never in question. That probably for years not been a question that it could run it. Like, not as fast as a MacBook Pro for sure, like with cooling and extra features and blah blah blah, and could do bigger displays, all of that. Like, not saying that, but it could run it. That was never the question. I put the article in from Federico Viticci on Mac Stories. I don't know why I got this weird link. There's
That's okay. Bob Beach had your back.
Okay, thank you.
That you had intended to put in.
Yeah. So there is, maybe that's even the wrong one. There was an article posted by, this one. I had the wrong link, sorry. But thank you, Bob Beach, for catching the right one. Yes, this one, right. Oh, it was even the one you wanted. I should multitask. he summarized, because he didn't get, like, he said it on like one of the podcasts he's on, he didn't get an iPad Pro for review, so he decided not to do, or he could have gotten it like Monday, and Monday was the end of the day embargo, so it was he basically wrote the, I said, not an iPad review, where he looked at a summary of all the issues he sees today, and he is Mr. iPad. Mm-hmm. He tried for years very, very hard to make iPads work for him in a professional way, like for everything. His main machine, iPad. I think for the longest time barely had a Mac at all, and now he has a Frankenstein Mac because he kind of hacked together a MacBook Air and an iPad. So he's that crazy. He's that person. So if anybody can make it work, it's him. And if anybody has a good view on it, it's probably him. Mm-hmm. Probably sometimes a better view on stuff than currently than people at Apple. I don't know. Just a feeling. It is simply true that for years, years and years and years, the potential of the hardware has been largely not like served by the software.
Mm-hmm.
There's obvious features that people have been asking for, that they wanted for professional work. I'm not saying it is not useful for some professional work, because it clearly is, and professionals are using it. But there's obvious things that are still missing and that have been missing, and that people can point to. And I mean, macOS reached a point where even iOS, iPhones, like, it reached a point after a couple of years where there was nothing obvious where people said, like, if it only had this. Mm-hmm. Sure, there was things or people were wishing for, but there was nothing like obviously where, like, oh, this is like so obvious, like copy and paste. Like, maybe we could improve this and whatever. So mm-hmm. far, we've so many limitations, and it was very clear from like how, look at the releases, that Apple was not prioritizing it. And maybe they shouldn't. Maybe, I mean, that's not a dig at Apple. Maybe that was probably a well-reasoned, good decision from their side. It just went against the marketing. The marketing was saying, this is the next computer. Like, this is the main computer you should have. Mm-hmm. It can do anything you want. It's a professional tool. I think even today on Apple's website, it says something about a tool for professionals to do professional things. I don't know. I don't remember what it's exactly phrased, but something like that. And it doesn't live up to that. It does not live up to that expectation. Like, the expectation that I could, for most of my tasks, switch to an iPad and I wouldn't need a Mac is, unfortunately, for me at least, not true. And I think it feels like it's for a lot of people not true. That doesn't mean it is not useful. It doesn't mean it's not a good device. It doesn't mean it's completely useless. It's not. Doesn't even mean that it's not worth buying.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on your perspective and what you use it for. And there's a million reasons. Like, some artists really love it. Like, there is good things about it. But it's just overall, it has not progressed to the point where you would say, after 14 years of the iPad and about, how much is that? Five? Was it 2009? 2019? No, it was earlier than that when we got the iPad Pro. 17, 16? See, I don't even remember.
About right.
Yeah, so let's say 7 years. let's say 7 years, 2017. 2015 even.
Magic
Thank you.
Man says 2015.
Thank you, Magic Man. 2015. So it's even 9 years. In 9 years, and Apple being the biggest company in the world at this point, for them, I mean, competing for that title with a couple others, but one of the biggest companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They have not used that power that they have in developing things that they clearly show in iOS, that they clearly show in other things. It's not the only device that they've kind of ignored a lot of times, like look at the HomePod.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's that good decisions, like it's always a balance, and I understand that, and you can only do so much in a year, but all understood. But it and not I'm not complaining in a sense of, hey Apple, what the are you doing, you're so stupid, like none of that. This was probably a very sane decision for them, but it does show as a result that the facts are the facts and reality is the reality. It is super powerful hardware with software that's not that is not using it, and that is really hard for the user to actually use that hardware. It's really hard for even developers to write software that really uses it. There's some rare exceptions, but it's for the most part very specific things, like Adobe with Photoshop or something.
Yeah, LumaFusion.
Yeah, very few apps that actually get anywhere close to using the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And on a Mac, it's trillions, millions of apps. Can do anything you want. And that's the difference.
Yeah, Magic Man is asking, wouldn't this cannibalize MacBook Pro sales? Like, if we had an iPad that we could really take advantage of. And on one hand, I say yes. On the other hand, no, because ultimately the use case for the for an iPad versus a MacBook Pro aren't the same. Now,
yes, yeah.
And with a Mac, you're talking about a device that is mouse and keyboard input first. And mm-hmm. on an iPad, you're talking about a device that is touch first. And
yes.
So you have completely different ways of interacting with the devices, even if you put a keyboard and mouse on an iPad.
And I mean, the big difference is you can take the screen, walk out with it. MacBook is different. You close it and then put it in a bag, whatever. Like the screen, you can take the screen, like detach it from the keyboard and take it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference. And I mean, I know some people think, macOS should become touch friendly and iPadOS should be macOS and they should merge together. And I think no, like they're different. I like that they're different devices. I mean, I've said the things I've said about the iPad that I think that Vision Pro is going to replace it. But Apple is not afraid of cannibalizing products. They would rather have, because it's never 100%. Like one product is not 100% going to cannibalize, at least not immediately, the other. I mean, the iPhone eventually cannibalized, but not completely, the iPod. Not completely. Mm-hmm. There are some diehard fans that bought them. I mean, they sold them for forever. So, like, mm-hmm. but eventually they got cannibalized. But Apple wasn't afraid to do that because they knew, I mean, one way or another, the iPod would die.
So I think Apple's intent was to cannibalize iPod sales.
Yes. So, and I mean, remember also the other thing, MacBook Pro has been pushed upstream. The MacBook Pro that you buy today, price-wise, is way more expensive than the MacBook Pro from 10 years ago. And it's not just inflation.
Mm-hmm.
It is also more powerful hardware, more features, better displays, like a lot of things where Apple simply pushed it up market. The MacBook Pro that I have right now is like, what was that? Like $4,500. And I think the MacBook Pro I bought like early 2000 was like two and a half maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said some is inflation for sure. Normal, but it's not all of it. So they've pushed it up. And probably for the reason that they have now lowered, I mean, the iPad, the MacBook Air became more popular, more capable, the iPad, and so on. They had other options simply for the lower price market. I think both have their value, and that's the, I think the point where people come in with the software is that's why people are saying, oh, it should be macOS. Mac, like Ben is saying that macOS should be, you should be able to run macOS on the iPad. And what they mean is not really macOS. They just want the capabilities that they have and the things that they can do on a Mac, they want to be able to do also on an iPad.
Yes, I'm with you on that. And I think for a lot of people that's the stumbling block. All right, so
yeah.
If someone came to you today, Patrice, and said, I want to buy a new iPad, and I don't have one specific use case for it. It's just, this is the tablet that I want to use for all the things that I want to do. And I already have a Mac, so it's not like it's going to be my only device.
Yeah.
What iPad would you tell them to buy?
11-inch iPad Air.
Oh my God.
Take the
Same.
Smaller, take the smaller ones, because you probably don't need the screen size, and the lighter weight is probably better for you. And the iPad Air is more than capable for what you need.
I would tell people the same thing. I think you get the best value for your money.
Yeah.
On
I mean it's the
M2
iPad
iPad
Pro
Air.
From
last
3 weeks
week,
ago.
from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean more or less, not 100%, but more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. And that's fine. I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, if someone wants an iPad, there's like good reasons. I mean, I've thought about it, like, should I upgrade my iPad? Do I really need it? I have a 2021 or two, 2022, I think, iPad Air. So 2 years old. It's fine. Like, it's not any, I have no problems with it. I just using it less and less because I'm just running into too many limitations, and it's just not the device I think I will use in the future. But other people love, I mean, my mom loves her iPad. Uses it all the time. It's like 6 years old. So it's really old. She's like, oh, I should probably now buy a new one. I'm like, yeah, it's probably time. So.
My iPad Pro, I have the 12.9 inch. It's the, I guess it would be the third gen. Because it's the A12X Bionic with USB-C.
Yeah. So the last
first
one
model
with the
that
A.
used Apple Pencil 2.
Yeah. Sounds about right. So the 20.
Like around 2019, maybe?
2019 must be, yeah. Because 2020, we got the M series already. 2021, we got the M series, I think. So
yeah.
Something like that.
So I guess this would be the model right before the M series came out.
Yeah, it was literally, as I said, that was basically what they put in the Mac Mini cases to have developer kits.
And
it's literally that iPad.
yeah, so my iPad is still powerful enough that the only reasons that I can see to justify buying a new iPad is I just want to have an M series processor instead of the AX processor. I want to use the new Apple Pencil. I want to have the new display.
Yeah.
So it's not, at no point is it a question of whether or not it's a device that is still able to meet my needs. It's just, hey, there's these new features that look interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's also, I think, no question that the newer device would allow you probably to do a little bit more and do more things and
Oh, it, I could
be a good
absolutely do
upgrade.
more.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a five-year-old device, roughly. Magic Man is saying he is using a 12.9 from 2015, the original iPad Pro, with on its original battery. So 9 years. That is impressive.
I got the first gen iPad Pro.
I did too.
And when I got the one that I have now, I just handed my old iPad Pro down the line. It is still being used pretty much daily.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we have no, like, there's no, absolutely no doubt that Apple is really good at that. The quality of the hardware, minus if you're doing accessories, but the main hardware itself is really good. Accessories can go either way, but hardware is very good. That's it, software. Big letdown on the iPad at least. That's it. Like there's it's not that Apple couldn't do it.
They just chose
It's a
not to.
decision. It's a decision to focus on other things. Yeah, to build a car, for example. I know apples and oranges, like hard to compare because the same people probably wouldn't have worked on the iPad,
Right, but it's where are
but
you focusing your resources? All right, so you and I, we agree that if you're just going to get a new iPad today,
okay.
the best all around choice would be the 11-inch M2 iPad Air. And
Yes.
I bet we also agree that TSO Host is awesome.
Yes.
And why would we think that TSO Host is awesome? Well, it's because they offer really great web hosting services. They make it easy to buy domain names. They offer good pricing. They offer great customer support. And they're taking all of that and they're giving it to us so that we can be here for you every week with shows. So, for example, we live stream the Big Show and the Mac Show every week. How do we do that? With the bandwidth that TSO Host gives us, because that, I mean, that's a pretty hefty load right there. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do the live streams. Then they're also giving us the web hosting space we need. So there's a place for the BTN website to live. Then they're also giving us server space. So there's a place for all of the show files to live. So when you want to watch or listen to a recording, they're just there for you. And without their support, we would not be able to pull together all the resources necessary to bring the British Tech Network to you. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here and supporting us. And now that I've said it, please, all of you say it. Just go out on to your favorite social media and thank TSO Hosts for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. It's easy to do. And it's a great way to let them know that you do appreciate that they are supporting us. So thank you again, TSO Hosts. You don't need to do anything other than that to let them know you appreciate them. However, if you have found domain names that you're thinking, ooh, I should get that, why not use TSO Hosts? Because they're going to make it easy for you to buy those domain names. They're going to give you really good pricing. And to make it even better, just because you're part of the BTN family, add the discount code BTN20 to your cart when you're checking out, and you're going to get an extra 20% of your order. So thank you, TSO Host, for being so generous as well. And speaking of generous, Patrice, you are so generous with your patience because it's practically every show I say, would you mind telling people about the chat? And you always do.
Of
And
course,
thank you.
we have a really cool chat. Sorry, I interrupted you. We have a really cool chat. So today there we have Bob Beach who just left us. I think he had to go do something. We have Magic Man in there. We are for sure in there. And we're posting the links and we're talking about stuff in there. We're having discussions with the people in there and with amongst ourselves. It's just a really worthwhile place to be. And if you want to join us there as well, you can do that whenever we're recording the shows. So there's two shows, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And if you like, when we're recording that, whatever that time is in your time zone, you have to figure out. And when we're recording that, you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and that's it. You're in. Like, click the button. You're in. And no registration needed or anything crazy. Just join us there, and then you can talk to us and see things live. So that's how that works. But if you like, for some reason, cannot do that, I don't know, you're working, you have kids, you're sleeping, you just don't wanna. It's totally fine. Like, we don't mind. That's why we record the shows and put them out there as podcasts. So all you have to do, if you want to still see the transcript, so we have a bot in there, the BTN chat bot, will record everything that is said and puts it up on our website. And you can still get to the transcript. And all you have to do is you go over, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and put in, there's a very friendly calendar that asks you very nicely for a date. And whatever date you give that calendar, you put in, it will take you to that date and then show you the transcript for that day. So anytime between, I think it's June 2nd, 2015. So almost as old as the iPad Pro. And today, which today's date would be May 17th, 2024. And whatever date you put in, it will show you the transcript. So for date, put in today's date, May 17th, and then 2024, and then it will show you what we talked about today.
Awesome. And here's the awesome thing. I'm trying to type in the chat without looking, and I realized my fingers were on the wrong keys. So I just typed complete gibberish. So Patrice, you're able to actually type the answer to Magic Man's question faster than
I was. Asked what the iPad OS was, version was.
Yes.
Yes. 17.5
came out just a couple of days ago.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So
and Patrice, thank you for just doing such an awesome job telling everyone about the chat. You rock.
You're welcome.
All right, cool thing time.
Cool thing time. So I guess my turn. Don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I see. You put a link in there.
I did already put a link in there.
So Patrice, tell me about your cool thing.
Good. So yes, it's it is. Sorry. It is probably the most expensive scale, body scale for yourself that you will ever buy. Not gonna lie, it is expensive. And that's why it took me very long to buy it, because I was like, is it, like, I had one before, is it worth it? So there is this little known small company from France called Withings or Withings. I can never tell which one is correct. Withings, Withings.
When I have met the people from the company at conferences, mm-hmm. they have pronounced it Withings.
Okay, then it's Withings.
So that's what I roll with.
I'm following that. So Withings, a small company, well, not so small these days, from France. They were bought by another little known company named Nokia for a while ago, and then kind of didn't go anywhere, and they separated again, and now they're independent again. I think they were even back in the original hands. So they do scales. I think that's originally the original thing. They do blood pressure monitors, they do sleep tracking, watches and wristbands and stuff like that. So they're in the health, let's say, health hardware, health and fitness hardware area. But not like medical, like more, say, mm-hmm. consumer grade. Mm-hmm. Really good company. I've had one of their scales for literally 12 years, I think. I started in 2012. Now it's 2024. So about 12 years. That's how far back I also have all my weights. Can go back to 2012 and see how light I was back then and how heavy I am these days. Getting older.
I wonder if we have the same model scale, because I've had a Withings scale for years. Actually, I think mine's older than yours.
Yes, now definitely. Because one, I just bought a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, and I bought one like 4 years ago here in Austria. So, but I've had multiple models in between. So I think when I moved to, before I moved to US, I think the one in the US I shipped and shipped it back, and then here I bought a new one. Something like that. It broke or I just wanted a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely wanted a new one this time. It's the body scan. So it's 309, if it's like our MSRP, $399.95. So quite expensive. Or let you can buy a scale on Amazon probably for like $30 if you want a simple one.
Mm-hmm.
So very expensive. But it is the best designed, manufactured, everything scale you can imagine. If you are a health nut like me. It has all the bells and whistles you want. So they have a really good app, the Withings app. It's really great. Integrates fully into the Apple Health ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I think also in others. I think Google Health or whatever it's called as well, as far as I know. And probably also others, Amazon, I don't know. They have something. It has a handle, so that's the new feature. Like it used to be, you just stand on a scale, it does some measurements through your feet, and then it can tell you little things. But now it has a handle that it's like a handle with like a rope attached, kind of like a cable, whatever you want to call it. And you pull it out of the scale, or you can also attach it to the wall, and you grab it and then stand on the scale, and it will do all kinds of measurements. So it uses, I think it's called electro impedance, I think. Some electric something. It somehow measures your body composition, and it now can do segments. So it used to be able to say, hey, you have this percentage of body fat, roughly. It's probably not 100% accurate, but it's close enough for a consumer grade device. It could give you trends at least. And it used to be able I think that was mostly it. It could tell you, okay, that's your percentage of body fat, percentage of muscles, water, like some other stuff. That was mostly it. And your weight for sure, like a default. Default of for a scale, I would expect good weights to be able to do that. But now it can do segments, it can do nerve health. Wow, that's a hard word. It can do heart rate. It can do, multi-lead ECG even. I don't remember how many leads, but it's more than one at least, which the Apple Watch does. It's connected to the internet, so it can also look up, it shows you the weather for today. It shows you the air quality index. All configurable. If you don't want it, just disable it. Like, don't worry about it. It just does everything. It is really, really good. It is quality-wise really good. It supports Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, connects to everything. It's just, as I said, the most expensive scale I have ever bought, and I've had bought a couple of things in the past. They were not that expensive. This is the most advanced and most expensive scale, as I said, probably in the world. Consumer, at least. Consumer grade for body measurements.
This scale does a lot.
Yes. I've probably forgotten half of it, to be honest. Yeah. It's like, it really, really does everything. And for me, since I'm really, 4 years, as I said, 12 years of weight measurements. And except for, I think, like 2 or 3 months periods where my scale was somewhere in a shipping container on an ocean, and so I couldn't use it. I've used it almost every day, except when I was traveling. So I've used this a lot, and I really pay attention to the numbers and not the individual numbers oftentimes, but the trends, like is my weight going up or down, like heart rates, all of that, like body composition, which direction it's going, BMI, and like all of that. So I'm really into it. So for me, it was, as I said, long time. I got a bonus this month. So I was like, okay, I'll buy it now. Took me a while. For a year, at least, I had that in my shopping cart. And I got a 10% off coupon as well. So maybe that
helped. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I didn't pay. I paid like $350, I think. So something like that.
Nice.
So
this is cool. I like the scale. I mean, I've been very happy with my Withings scale that I've had forever. And I look at this and I'm thinking,
They have others. So this one I mentioned, if you don't have one and you don't want to spend $400 and you don't need all the advanced things, they have, I think, the Body Plus that I had before. They still have a new version of it and so on. They have others that are still expensive, but less expensive, and do a little bit less, but do still a lot of really cool things. So you don't have to go this crazy like me. Magic Man is saying he just watches his trouser size, and if the 38 is too tight or too loose, so easy one. Okay, I understand that. I could tell also on my clothes that I was gaining weight, so and losing.
Yeah.
So, but I've lost a bunch, so I'm happy.
Awesome. All right, so my pick, it could be good for your health or not.
Okay.
I'm actually going back
if you
to
step
Lego.
on Lego, it's bad. I don't
yeah
if
if
you
you
play
step
with
on
it's
Lego
good.
It's bad. But yes, but I am going with Lego, and
nice. See, I guess.
Yeah, there's a new kit that is actually, what is today? It's May 7th. Okay, so I think it's a kit that came out earlier this week, and it's wall art, and it's the nice. Milky Way, and wow. It is over 3,000 pieces. And they're all small. So you build this kit in panels, and then the panels all connect together. And when they're all connected together, you have this big wall hanging. And it's the Milky Way in color.
Nice. And three-dimensional from the looks of it. It's not just yes, flat.
Yes. And it's 26 inches across and 16 inches tall. So it's not like a little thing. This is a significant significantly sized kit.
Yeah. And there's the frame. Cool. There's a frame included, which is also Lego, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And nice. Lego designed these bricks or elements, excuse me, that are designed to be wall hangers. So you put your nails or hooks on the wall, and then it has the pieces on the back that are designed to just sit right on that.
Yeah, it's also quite a decent size. I was just thinking about it, like 26 by 16. That's about the size of my 34-inch display, widescreen display, curved.
Mm-hmm.
About. So,
yeah,
pretty big.
It is a big kit, and 3,091 pieces cost $200, $199.99 US, and so that means that you're paying less than a dime a brick, and it's a good price per brick as well. And it even has a little "you are here" thing, so you can see where our solar system is in our galaxy. And it's just a super cool kit. So there you go, the Lego Milky Way Galaxy.
Very nice. I mean, Lego and anyway, very nice. But yeah, don't step on it.
Don't step
that
on
might
it.
Be, that it might would, be bad.
It would hurt like really bad. It There's some really pokey so pieces much. In this one.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Milky Way, so of course there are pokey pieces.
Yeah, there's parts of the Milky Way that are totally safe or reasonably safe, and other parts not so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Patrice.
All right. I have to leave soon, so we should wrap
we
up.
Should. So where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week, except when I'm traveling to Portugal or other places, on the big show on Thursdays, on the Mac show on Fridays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And I have a Mastodon instance that I host, techhangout.social, where, for example, there is at British Tech at techhangout.social and in touch with iOS and some other cool podcasts and people. And if you want to join it or migrate to it, it's super easy to migrate if you ever want to do that. I can help you with that. You can get an invite from us. Just reach out to us and we'll provide it. It's invite only. So, small community.
Awesome.
Very small.
Awesome. All right. Then,
how about you, Jeff?
Well, let's see. How about on social media? Jay Gamut on pretty much everything. I'm active right now on Mastodon, on Instagram, and Threads. Then for shows, Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. And Brian Chaffin and I, we also do The Context Machine.
Very nice. So, looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah. So am I.
So are you. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So with that, it is definitely time to wrap up. Patrice, Thank you for making my Friday morning just so much fun. It has been a
Thanks
delight.
Thanks for having me.
This has been just wonderful. And speaking of wonderful, all of you, everyone that watches and listens live, participates in the live chat, thank you for being here. And if you watch or listen to the shows later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tioso host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, I do believe it is time to wrap up. So thank you again to everyone. And don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. And then on Friday for the Max show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.